You're listening to the Journey Podcast. Ready to transform setbacks into stepping stones? Stay tuned as we unravel the secrets of rewiring your mindset for resilience and empowerment. Hi, I'm Petra Brunbauer, and with decades of experience with sadness, pain, anxiety, and stress, I finally figured out how to leave all that behind. And this podcast shows you how to break free permanently so you can reclaim your sanity and find the self-esteem and energy to go after the life you desire. With real talk about mental health, holistic healing, and the tough journey of coming out the other end, this is The Journey Podcast. Welcome to today's episode. In this episode, we set off on a journey of personal growth and transformation, exploring the powerful process of rewiring learned helplessness into growth mindsets. Our guest, who once grappled with overwhelming debt and despair, shares her inspiring story of resilience and reinvention. Through her journey, she discovered the profound impact of shifting from a mindset of helplessness to one of growth and possibility. Isabel Varela is a transformative force in holistic lifestyle, sustainability, and the fashion industry. With over two decades of expertise, Isabel is a trailblazer, implementing corporate social responsibility from startups to conglomerates like LVMH, Saks Fifth Avenue, and Nordstrom. As CEO and founder of Repurpose Your Life, Isabel combines roles as a life and business coach, driving operational excellence, strategic partnerships, and impactful community building. Isabel's mission is to impact 1 million women globally through her two signature offers, a 12-week mentorship program for ambitious female entrepreneurs providing tools, integrating growth mindset and sustainability into impact-focused ventures, and a virtual and in-person decluttering and organization of women's closets and homes. Her transformation from hitting rock bottom, risk of homelessness, her car on the brink of repossession, rising from $100,000 in debt to purpose-driven success serves as a testament to her character. Isabel's leadership influence spans wellness, personal development, and fashion innovation, and has been seen on major media platforms like CNN, Reuters, and NY1. Let's meet Isabel Varela. Hi, Isabel. It's so great to have you on the podcast today. I've been looking forward to getting to chat with you because rewiring learned helplessness into growth mindsets is such a fantastic topic for today's conversation. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Petra. I'm so excited to be here and thank you again for this opportunity.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to have you here today. And this sounds like a very curious and intriguing topic that we'll be talking about. So I can't wait to dive in. Now, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you have been doing, what you do now, and kind of the story that brought you here?
Oh, yes. Thank you. So let's first start with what I'm currently doing. So I am a life and mindset coach. I'm a business mentor and the CEO and founder of Repurpose Your Life. And Repurpose Your Life actually officially launched last year on my birthday, June 22nd, 2023. And I'm bridging the gap between wellness, personal development, and sustainability. And the inspiration behind Repurpose Your Life is actually part of my personal transformation. So from the age of 28 was the year that I had my breakdown financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Everything. It was a wake-up call from the universe. And that year, I had $100,000 of debt from being a shopaholic. And I was near homelessness because I hadn't paid my bills in 3 months, my rent, my utilities, and all the way to my car on the brink of repossession. So from that wake-up call, the light switch turned on and said, oh my God, I need to change my life immediately. So that next day, I looked at all my credit card statements, how much I owed. I had 7 maxed out credit cards. I started a full-time job because before then, I actually had started my first business as a fashion designer. And then I started therapy. But in between this, I also decluttered. And interestingly enough, decluttering my closet really helped me to understand where and why my issue with $100,000 of debt was. It was very hard for me to actually be honest with myself. I was like, no, it's just financial problems. But decluttering actually opened the door to a whole new world that I was scared to look at. But that is exactly what I needed, right? The truth is going to hurt a little bit, but it's very healing. And now this whole transformation, because I got out of debt, paid it off, completely changed my life. I rewired my actions, intentions, thoughts, behaviors to more positive. And now that is exactly what I teach in what I do, helping with mindset, time management, asserting with yourself, asserting with others, boundaries, and building a business around your gifts and talents.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that journey with us. And that is some major stuff coming out of debt like that and just turning your life around, finding out what your passion is and following that. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And I could imagine that when you pulled out the credit card bills and you looked at everything, that it was quite overwhelming for you to address that in some kind of way and to figure out where you could even start with that. So how did you decide where to start at? What were some of the first things that you did when you looked at all of that?
Oh man, if I can go back to that day, hold on, let me go back in my head. I would say the first thing was, during that time, I had built my first business, as I was shared, as a fashion designer. I was just named designer to watch across the South. My clothing brand was in 5 stores. I was on TV, all these things, right? This is the external, but internally, no one knew what was going on. And at that time, I had an investor. No one knew this. And the pain of me seeing how much I was in debt and me not being able to continue my dream, that was the first thing that really motivated me, because I had worked so hard to build this first business. And I realized, oh my God, I have to change this. If not, I won't ever be able to move to New York City and become that famous fashion designer, quote unquote, that I wanted to be. So that was enough motivation for me to, I got to change this now. Like, I have to start new. I have to start over. And once I looked at the credit cards and then I had to do a credit report, ooh, that's when I knew I need help. And I looked up a debt management program, and they're called CCCF, and they're actually still in existence. It was a nonprofit based in California that helps with debt management. I called them immediately and I followed my intuition at that point, not really knowing that I was listening to that. That comes later. But they were super helpful. They helped me to close most of the credit cards and start paying them off. And that was the beginning of a whole new trajectory of my life.
Yeah. Now, those were some of the practical steps that you took to actually get control of the situation. And how did all of this affect you mentally and emotionally? I can imagine there was a lot going on in that sense for you as well at that time.
Oh, so part of me was numb and just super angry. So I would say that took over. And then I started therapy about probably 2 weeks after that, because there is someone that I had met. We went on a date because I was trying to escape everything right now. And he actually introduced me to my mentor, who's my mentor now. And I started therapy, and he was the first person that helped me to be accountable. But before I even said yes, I knew deep inside there's something more to this. Like, life can't be this. Because even throughout my teens and 20s, early 20s, I was reaching and trying to learn more about self-help. There's yoga classes. Let me try that. I would sometimes run into a psychic, and I don't believe in coincidences, and they would tell me certain things would happen, and I would just brush it off. Whatever. That was an accident, probably. I wasn't ever fully happy, even doing my fashion design brand in the beginning. I was always looking for something. Something was missing. And then once I started therapy, that was it. He was the first person that held me accountable. And he was super, super honest to the point where it was very hard and painful. And that really started to help me to start changing and rewiring how I saw life. Now, it took work. I'm not saying this was overnight, but that first session really helped me to see, oh, wow, he was actually the first person that was honest with me. And I start thinking about everyone else that's in my life. Is anyone else being honest with me? And then that changed everything. The rest is history.
Yeah. Wow. And is that part of how you work with your clients as well? Bring in that piece for personal accountability so that they can go from the sitting on the reactive part of the equation to actually taking charge of what's happening in their lives. Do you work with them on that as well?
Yes, I do. Because one of the most important things that I learned was actually becoming aware of what I was feeling and being able to identify and then processing it in a way that I understood. Part of that is apologizing to myself and then making a plan of action of, hey, now that I know I'm doing this, I'm disrespecting myself. What can I do to help me to see that I can respect myself? In this process, that's exactly what I teach others. There was a new way of thinking for me. And now that's what I teach others as well, because it's been super powerful. And even just because it's a process, but even the beginning of it, understanding how you're feeling and understanding that those negative feelings are projections of how you're feeling about yourself, it really helps people to see it in a new way and then take their power back. Because I was always so used to blaming everyone else. And then when I started to look at different patterns, I realized, oh, the common denominator is me. Oh, ouch. All right. Secondarily, yeah, I can be upset at someone else, but primarily, why am I mad at myself?
Yeah, those are some great insights. And also painful, I think, for many people to look in the mirror and actually admit that they are the common denominator and they are the one thing that ties all of this together. And in this whole process of actually understanding that you were at the center of all of this, was there any fear or guilt or shame or any of those things that came up for you that you had to overcome in order to move through this journey?
Oh my God, every single day. It was so hard. Because in the beginning, it's like someone literally took the, I don't know what the saying is. I might say it incorrectly. It was like someone's taking the blindfolds off of me and I'm trying to put them right back on. And in the beginning, I only see a small little glimpse of light because it's so painful. Because if I'm looking at one area in my life, then I have to start looking at other areas in my life. And it just kept going. And I'm thinking, I've opened Pandora's box. I want to close this box because it's so overwhelming. But what I found was, even though it's painful, especially feeling, because there's family issues, there's financing issues, my addictions, God, how I manage time, how I use my free time, how is escaping, disassociating. I will do one thing at a time, like look at one thing, because if not, I would then just freeze up. And then I would go back to the same behaviors that were not helpful for me. When I started looking at how I would feel slightly better after looking at just one part of, let's say, time management. Oh, I got the biggest, and my mentor would call them needles. But they're actually messages of love, because he had so much confidence and belief that he knows that I can get out of it. He just has to give this love message to me, hoping that I would be open, but it's not his responsibility, that I would accept it as much or as little, and then take that medicine and then use it. And in the beginning, there were some breakthroughs because I started to feel better. And I remember the first time I was late, and we'll talk about time management, but that's like one of a million issues that I had. But it was important to share this one because this was the first time that someone actually really was blunt with me in this area. And then that's what opened the door for me for, okay, this person's super helpful. I was late 30 minutes. And this is something I always did. Everyone knew me. I was always quote unquote fashionably late, 30 minutes to an hour. So I was 30 minutes late to my session. I think it was probably my fourth one. I walk in, he doesn't say anything. And I start getting super nervous. I sit down and I kind of brush it off. Hey, no response. Like, do you know what time it is? Ooh, and I'm cleared my throat. I feel that pit in my stomach. I'm about to get in trouble. He said, not only are you 30 minutes late, and not only have you disrespect me and you're showing how much you don't appreciate what I'm doing and my work, you're doing that exactly to you. And how long have you been doing this? I bet you've been doing this all your life and no one has had the guts to tell you. Oh, I started crying because it was so true. And I just remembered, oh my God, these are behaviors that I learned from my parents, from my mom, and then my friends. And then I didn't take the responsibility to change it. That right there, even though so painful, there was like a relief of, oh my God, no, that's true. And I can, okay, all right. Okay, what can I do to fix it? Let me fix it now because it's so uncomfortable. But in that moment, that really started to open my eyes to, oh, okay. It feels so painful, but there's a relief. There must be something to this. So that's why I kept going and I started doing my own homework. And I realized little bits by little bits, I started to feel better. Now, it wasn't consistent. No, it wasn't. Because there were times that I just wanted to run away. But I would always try to pull myself back because I knew I would feel better. But it was always going back to the mindset. I never thought I deserved this. I never thought I was capable. It's almost having like a blind faith that, oh, well, I'm getting a little bit better. Maybe life can be better.
Yeah. So you're uncovering patterns that you are not aware of that were keeping you where you were. And until those came to your awareness, there wasn't really anything that you could do about it because you didn't know they were there. Yeah. That's fascinating. Now, outside of your therapist, did you have a support network as you were working through all of this?
Well, I would say I had some friends, but the thing is, it was hard for me to really share because I didn't want anyone to know that, oh my God, I was in this much debt. I have this many issues. And it was really hard for me to be honest with my own family too. Because they only saw what I shared. So for a while, I wasn't honest. My family really didn't know. And then friend-wise, the same thing. But what I did find is there was a group that was part of group therapy that became my support system because they understood. And I was still not ready enough to be open with others. And then I know that sometimes when someone does get healthier, depending on where the other person is in their journey, they may try to sabotage. And that happened to me in different areas. But I ended up just continuing with the group. And then as I got stronger and I could assert, I started to build more boundaries. That's when I started to share a little bit more, which led me to how I now share on stages. I've shared this story in different places, organizations, workshops, conferences to really show like it's possible to change and the transformation, just changing your life, really.
Yeah. And when you work with your clients, what's the importance of having support as you're going through all of this? Because as you said, you weren't quite comfortable sharing all this with your loved ones. So if people feel alone and they feel like they have no one to plug in with, does that become very difficult for them to make changes? Is a community important? Is a support network important?
It's very important to have a support network. And that's why, that's the other reason why Repurpose Your Life was built. Because what I have found, and this was even before the course, because I've held a lot of different events and workshops for people, and everyone has felt so comfortable in sharing how they're really feeling and being super vulnerable. I didn't realize at the time that this was the beginning of creating these safe spaces. And as I continued these workshops, I was always that person that people can always share anything with. But in the past, maybe like 4 or 5 events, and especially my retreats that I hold and experiences, everyone says that they feel at home and there's a lot of healing. And interestingly enough, just like they felt like they can be open with strangers, that's how it was with me. And what ends up being is these strangers are actually, some become your chosen family. They become friends. They become like different business partners to partners, because everyone is in the same space of looking for like-minded individuals that are also trying to be a better them. And with Repurpose Your Life, that's something that I continue to bring and working on, even expanding that more and bringing that online as well through the Connect community, because we meet once a month and just share mindfulness tips all the way to I do sound healings online. But that I've gotten that this is such a safe space, Isabel. Thank you for sharing this, because I don't have this anywhere else.
Yeah, it strikes me as one of the key components to being able to move forward is to have a community or someone to share that with. So yeah, that's fantastic that you build that in and you offer that. Now, you touched briefly on sound healing. You also touched on the fact that you started with therapy as you were coming through this journey. What other things did you find that really helped you? And what do you offer to your clients now as they're coming through these healing journeys and they're making these changes in their lives? Any modalities that stood out for you?
Oh, yeah. So besides the sound healing, that came a little bit later, but yoga was one of the first things, because I had an issue meditating. So I was like, let me do yoga. At least I can start to practice and focusing on this and letting my mind and all the thoughts go in and out. Then I started dancing, which I love to dance. And the third thing was hiking, and in nature was where I found my most peaceful time. And then sound healing came later, because I already have been playing the piano since I was 10. And I was one of those rebels and I didn't want to do the lessons, because I was like, I want to play my way. I want to be improv playing the piano. And now that's exactly one of the modalities I offer, is the sound healing, because sound healing came to me at a really good time in my life as well. It was super powerful and it helped me to heal my bodies in ways I didn't even know was possible. That's one of the things I offer, is sound healing. I do those one-on-ones online and in person, and also in group sessions and at my events. And the other thing too is I do, it's like a wellness walk, but nature was really healing. So I do that in person in New York City, but I'll take them through Central Walk and I share with them some of the things that I do to really appreciate what's around us. And I do ask everyone to put that phone on airplane mode and to really appreciate the lines in the trees, the grass, the colors, the smells, the sounds, and everything around you, because it really helps you to become more present. And that was something that now I want to share more with others. And the other thing is I do other fun modalities as creative as well, and drawing and painting, because that's another love of mine as well, because sometimes it was hard for me to express my emotions. So creatively, I can express it. And that helps other people to open up themselves to, if I can't speak it, well, let me draw it, or let me just write it, because I'm too scared to actually use my voice.
Yeah, that's a really great point, that sometimes for some of the things we're experiencing, there may not be words at the moment, so we can express that differently. Yeah. Now, do you have any daily practices or routines that you personally use to continue this journey, or that you would recommend to others?
Oh, absolutely. So I have a non-negotiable, I have 2 hours in the morning, but anything that you can do non-negotiable, meaning you're going to put that as a priority, and it's always health or mental for me. That's always the first priority. But I have my spiritual hours, I call them. So I usually do a Vedic meditation twice a day for 20 minutes. And in that first morning, I do that. Then depending on my mood, I'll either do some mindset exercise, gratitude journal, stretching, dancing, and I always go outside all the time, every day. Unless I can't because I'm sick or something, I'll go outside. So those are my non-negotiables every morning because it really helps to set the day. So even doing one thing, because I started with one, it was just one thing. And that one thing was actually every day do something I enjoy. And that nature became part of that one thing. And I started to expand it because I wanted to add more things that I enjoy that really help me to feel better mentally and physically into my life.
Yeah, those are some amazing tips. So I hope that our listeners actually will take some of those. And even if you don't have 2 hours, you can, like Isabel said, do some simple things. You can go for a walk, or you can do a short meditation or short yoga routine. I mean, there are now some 5 or 10 minute yoga routines that you can fit even into a break or in the end of your evening. So definitely things that listeners can take on board. And what do you offer if you work with clients? Do you offer any specific programs or services, and how do you work with clients?
Oh, yes, I do. So I do offer one-to-one, and I have different life coaching and business packaging because I work with women entrepreneurs, women that are transitioning out of their 9-to-5 to build a life and business around their gifts and talents. And with those one-on-one packages, they also have access to my course. And if they just rather do the course, I have options for that as well. And when they're ready, they can expand. But one of the things that I do with the Repurpose Your Life course is we work in 4 different modules, I guess you could say. 4 categories. Yes, there's 4 categories. The mindset is first. And then the next thing we work on is time management. And then business A to Z, all the things that I wish I would have had when I first started my business, all those ins and outs of the forms, everything. And then the last one is sustainability and impact, but both in your life and business. Because one of the really powerful methods that I offer is the transformational decluttering method, because it's not just decluttering your stuff. It's also decluttering the mind. And whenever we do declutter the space, you start to actually see and feel a difference immediately. And it helps to empower you how much control you do have within yourself. It's like, oh, this makes me feel better. Okay, well, if I did this, I kept my word, I decluttered, what else can I do? And that's part of the course as well, and making an impact in your business. And that's called the Repurpose Your Life. And every quarter, I launch a 2-day virtual event, super powerful. And again, the community comes together and you learn so many things. So let me share some of the things you learn. Ooh, I get so excited. So what can you expect in those 2 days? Well, you master your time, reclaim control over your schedule, and you start to create a life that really aligns with your passions, because there's a framework called the Time Freedom Method. As I shared, I was late to everything in my life. No more. How to create a stress-free environment, how to elevate your mindset to a growth mindset, how to transform challenges into opportunities, and how to make sustainable, attainable action steps so you can live that life you want. What's different about this 2-day event is it's super engaging. I don't just talk at you. We're actually engaging. There's breakout rooms. There's really a lot of sharing, vulnerability. Everyone feels really excited to be in a space where they can be themselves. And most importantly, you take action immediately in and during the event. And I wanted to share something that was really amazing from day 1 to day 2, because I've timed the event to at the end. The last thing that we talk about on day 1 is a transformational decluttering method. 25 people showed up on day 2. They all decluttered something. And I was so excited because already the transformation within the event and then on day 2 was even bigger. And I got really excited because it really, you see how people feel empowered and then they start to take actions in other parts of their life. So I wanted to share that because super passionate about it.
Yeah, that sounds like an amazing event and also like an amazing program. And of course, we will be linking to all of Isabel's offerings in the show notes as well. So be sure to check there on how you can find her events, how you can join her course if you feel that you are ready to make some changes and take accountability and move forward with your healing journey. You'll find out in the show notes how you can connect with Isabel. And thank you so much for creating this space for people and this course to come through, because it feels to me that you have so much passion in this, and this is such a wonderful thing that you have created. So happy to talk about that and so excited to put out the links so people know how to find you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the opportunity. And I'm so excited. Oh, and I wanted to mention too, I have a smaller community, Connect Community, so you can get a taste of what it's like to be with all of us as well. I have different steps to meet where everyone's at in their journey.
Amazing. And we'll be sure to link to that as well so that people know where they can start and maybe get to know you and get to know what you do and see if that would be a good fit for them. So yeah, we'll be linking to that. And this has been another incredible episode, and I really hope our listeners have enjoyed our journey into rewiring learned helplessness into growth mindsets as much as I have. It has been fantastic chatting with you on the podcast today, Isabel. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on and share your wisdom with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. It was such an amazing opportunity and honor to be here with you and all of your guests.
Thank you so much. I am sure that everyone really appreciated your insights and your tips on how they can incorporate some of these things into their lives. So we'll be sure to do some of those things and actually take a few minutes or half an hour or an hour during the day and make those changes. So thank you so very much, Isabel, and take care.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen in. If you enjoy the Journey podcast, please support us by subscribing, sharing on social media, and leaving us a review. We appreciate you. And you can find more of The Journey on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and our website, thejourney.com. Sending you love and courage, and see you next time.